Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. Wow, I tell you, the stuff that we have just heard about Gideon's, you know, Lauren showed that that video, and it said 65 million Bibles, and now it's 81 million Bibles. I remember when it went past 55 million Bibles, and I thought, boy, a million a week. And now it's up to 81 million Bibles a year going out. Isn't that shocking? I mean, it's just shockingly amazing. God bless those Bibles and the Word of God. What's that? Nothing is impossible with God. Well, I'd like you to begin today by turning to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 3. Today I would like to talk to you about a word. And I'm really just going to talk. I've got a whole bunch of notes and a whole bunch of slides, but when we get done here, I want you to just have focused on this one word and just realize its power in your life. And the word is grace. You guys have all heard grace, right? The most popular song in the world today for the Christian world, and even for if when it comes to hymns in the unbelieving world, is Amazing Grace, right? And people sing Amazing Grace, and bagpipes play Amazing Grace at many, 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 many services. And, I think there are multitudes of people who don't know even what those words mean when they're singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But in that first phrase, you really capture the whole essence of what grace is all about. That it's amazing grace. It is a sweet sound that saved a what? A wretch. And what God shows us in the Word over and over and over and over again is that by Himself, a person is completely incapable of pleasing God in any way whatsoever. That if it were not for the grace of God, and the grace of God is the favor of God, that God has looked upon people and he has bestowed his favor upon you. You guys, we wouldn't have a clue. We wouldn't have any understanding what God's favor was all about if he hadn't, without any condition, offered that favor to you. We have received the love of God and the mercy of God, and it's expressed in this grace. It's this free gift. And so on this first slide here, I just wrote grace received and grace extended. And what I would like to do today is talk about the grace that we have received. And then I would like to talk about the fact that we as Christian people, once we've received it, then we have the privilege to do what? Pass it on. It's exactly right. Grace received and grace extended. You guys, we would not be recipients of God's love. We would not be saved. We wouldn't be anything without the favor of God that is upon us. You remember that phrase in Ephesians says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." Not of yourselves, not of works, lest anybody could boast even the slightest bit, because we are saved by grace. God has just poured upon us this unmerited, undeserved gift of grace. And that's all I want to communicate today, is how wretched we are without him, and how he has made us his child, living in the favor of God with him. And that's it. We could pray and go home. But I want to talk about it a little bit more. So we have this grace, and grace is a gift. There have been other times in life where somebody has given you a gift and you have felt undeserving. They come up and say, "I want you to have this." And you think, "I didn't do anything. I haven't been anything. I didn't respond like I should have. Maybe I was even kind of a, you know, yeah, a flake or a rat or something, you know. We just have done nothing." But grace is a gift. And God has in his mercy granted us this gift of grace that has led to our salvation. The second thing is grace is extended to all who believe. And everybody who believes in Jesus Christ, you believe because he has poured out his grace upon your soul and your heart, and you have responded by faith to him. And I want to tell you this, the world lives in the grace of God. They just don't know it. They haven't received they don't have a relationship with God, but they do live in grace. I'll tell you what, if God pulled his grace out of our world, all the unbelievers would notice immediately, because we are surrounded by this grace of God, and it just works itself out in multitudes of blessing in our life. And as much as people are rebellious against God and rejecting God, the unbelieving world lives in the grace of God. All the things that we have around us. And grace is undeserved. You think of those words of the Apostle Paul. Here he is. He's been a religious man, and he, after he comes to Christ, God knocks him with the light on the road to Damascus, and he falls on the way. And then just a little bit later, as he's writing that letter to Timothy, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin and death? Thanks be to God, you know, who has," and I don't remember the exact words, "but who has bestowed his mercy, his grace upon us." Where would we be without the grace of God? In Daniel chapter 3, you got this story. And I'm going to use this story as an illustration of God's grace. It's an Old Testament story. We can go lots of New Testament too, but you'll see why. So in chapter 3 of Daniel, if you would start with me in, let's see, about verse 15. And you might remember, let me just build the story for you. Daniel, there's three characters in this story: Shadrach, Meshach, and who? Abednego. I'm not sure how to say his name, so I had you say it. Abednego. And you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar has said to all the people in his kingdom, when you hear the sound of the flute and the trumpet and all these things, what were the people supposed to do? Bow down. Bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, never. Never, and they didn't do it unkindly, but they said, no, we're not going to worship your God. We are going to worship the God of heaven, who is the only true God. And the Bible reminds us over and over again that all the other gods that you will ever hear about, all gods are idols, except for Almighty, God Almighty, who is the God of the Bible. And so in verse 15, it says this: "Now, if you are ready," and the king is kind of asking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Now, if you are ready at the time when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So there was the consequence right there. And they knew it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew the consequence if they were not to bow down. And then the king says, "And who is the God who can rescue you from me, you dummies? Bow down and worship." It's basically what he's saying. "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And, king, he will deliver us from your hand." And what were they saying? They were saying whether God sustains them in the flames or whether they die and go to be with God, God was going to deliver them. They were not putting a challenge out to God. They were not demanding from God what God would do. They just said, "Our God's going to deliver us. Hands down, king. We don't have to answer to you at all in this." But if not, verse 18, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Man, these guys had backtalked the king. He was embarrassed in front of his people, in front of his leaders, and they had embarrassed the king. The Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace, how many times? 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were there in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed the men who took up, the guys who grabbed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and threw them in the fire, those men were killed by the heat of the flames. It was so hot. And it says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And you know the rest of the story, right? The king was astonished because the men who threw them in were killed, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what happened to them? They were walking around in the furnace. They were walking around in the furnace. It didn't burn their coat. It didn't burn their turban. It didn't singe their hair. They were walking around in the furnace, and like Bill said, and there was someone else, there was a fourth, and Nebuchadnezzar said, he says, I see a fourth, and he looks like the Son of God. Praise God. Let me tell you this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they found favor with God. They were living in the grace of God, and they were sustained by this unmerited favor, this undeserved gift that God gave to them. The men that threw them into the fire, they were not in the grace of God. And they were consumed in the second because they were not in the grace of God. Now, Shadrach, and I'm kind of supposing this, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their testimony was out there. Everybody around the furnace knew that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had said, no, we're not going to worship your God. And the world is seeing the testimony of people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're seeing us. They're watching us worship. They're seeing us in our daily lives. They are our neighbors and our friends. And every person on this planet has everything they need to choose to follow Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible tells us over and over again that God has declared his righteousness. God has declared his design. God has declared his personhood to everyone on this planet. Everyone is without excuse, Romans 1 says. Isn't that amazing? I can't understand that. I can't understand how some of the things that are happening in our world that every person has either rejected or rebelled against God, but God says they have opportunity. Now here's the deal, and here's what I want to talk about in this measure of grace. We all deserve the fiery furnace. The Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not what? There is not one righteous. But Apostle Paul said, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And this is after he had become a Christian. And you know why Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am? Because he realized that he was wretched. I'm wretched. Man, left to myself, I would sin every day, any day. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, the unmerited favor, the undeserved favor that he has bestowed upon me, that I could understand the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, and that I could understand that I am nothing without him. There's nothing I can do. And then because all I did was I said, I believe. By faith we believe. And then the Spirit of God comes in. Man, that's a gift of grace as well. And there are all kinds of words that tie together with grace. There's the unconditional love of God, and there is the mercy of God, and there is the sovereignty of God, and all of those things are in this package. And you know what? If God had not had favor upon us, we would know nothing about that at all. I'm reminded all the time of that John chapter 6 verse that says, "No one comes to me unless the Father draws him." And we are Christians because God has made it clear to us and the Father has drawn us. And so, you know what? The first part of this message is grace received and grace extended. We are the receivers of grace. Now, you know what? We get to pass that grace on. And by ourselves, we're like Paul, "O wretched man that I am." But because we are saved and the Holy Spirit lives within us, we have the capability of being gracious. We have the capability of forgiving one another. We have the capability of sharing goodness when somebody is evil toward us. And I'll tell you the truth, I think there are probably have been and going to be times in my life where it's going to be exceptionally hard to be gracious because of what other people have done in my life. Here's what God says. You have received grace. Now be gracious. Grace received, grace extended. Early in the Bible, it's back in Genesis chapter 6, where we meet Noah. And Noah is amongst all of these wicked people that are on the earth. And Noah, it says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was living amongst a very wicked people. I can't actually imagine how wicked the earth could be that God would say, "All these people have rejected me. All these people have rebelled against me." For 100 years, Noah preached the grace of God. For 100 years, Noah preached to these people, and they could not receive the grace of God. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. He had 3 sons. It says in verse 11, the earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And I wrote in my notes, oh, the heaviness of a corrupt, godless, rebellious people. And we would say, you remember that old phrase? It says, but for the grace of God, there go I. I'll tell you what, you guys, I just want us to get a glimpse of the grace of God, the favor of God. We have this grace concept that just keeps coming out in Scripture. It's mentioned over 100 times in Scripture, and it means, and it just shows every time it comes up that God is benevolent. He is gracious. He is extending his unconditional love, his mercy to us. And so, by the grace of God, we receive him, and then we become his ambassadors. Gideons do it through sending out Bibles throughout the world, and you do it in your family by sending out grace and mercy throughout your family. God is amazing. I told you, there's only one concept I want you to get today, and that is that God is gracious. It's unmerited. We don't deserve it, but we're recipients of it. Wow, what a gift we have been given. We have a great gift. Jesus said, "Forgive as you have been forgiven." That's a measure of grace. I'm going to go to another example. This is the 8th slide, Jane. In the book of Ezra, chapter 9, verse 7, there's this little dialogue Ezra is the prophet. And Ezra's talking about the people of Israel and the condition of their lives. It says, since the days of our fathers to this day, and the scribe, the prophet, is saying, God, we're guilty before you. We have been guilty. And for our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, into captivity, to plunder, to humiliation, as it is to this day. You remember the situation? Israel had forsaken God, and God had judged the people by saying, you're going to go into captivity to learn to trust me. Learn to stop being rebellious. Verse 8 says, and now for a little while, listen to this. God says, for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God. And he says this, grace to leave a remnant, grace to give us a peg in this holy place, a handle in this holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. And I think, Lord, thank you for a measure of revival in the bondage that we're in. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us. That is mercy, you guys. God could look at all of us and say, even now, you're a rebellious people. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the work of Christ on our behalf, unmerited favor, where would we be? And it says, God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy. That's part of this grace. In the sight of the kings of Persia, to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall, give us protection in Judah and Jerusalem. The next slide, I just simply expounded, just kind of broke that down. God did not forsake us. He extended mercy to revive us, to repair the house of God, to rebuild its ruins, to give us a wall. And I'll tell you what, all of that is this picture of grace, unmerited favor. You know what? As you walk out of here today, please know there's nothing you could have done to be saved. There's no way you could say, God, I'm going to do this because I know you'll just be so happy with me that you would want to take me in because I'm so nice and so good and so benevolent. It's not going to happen. It's by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest anybody should have something to boast about. And you know what that does to all of us? Being recipients of this favor, it makes us grateful people, thankful people, people with hearts of praise and gratitude. You know, I wrote down words from our singing today, you know, where it says, you are amazing, God. I think, why is he amazing? What's he done that's so amazing? Can you think of a thing that he's done that's so amazing? Oh, my goodness. God, you are amazing. Where would we be without you? Without the grace of God, we'd be like toast next to the fiery furnace, all burned up. God is amazing. This passage in Psalms 84 just seemed to me to kind of be the response of a person who was the recipient of grace. Let me just turn around and look at it with you. You know, the psalmist says, God, one day in your court is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Is that how you feel? God, I wouldn't rather be anywhere else but right with you. You're where I want to be. God, one day with you is better than 1,000 anywhere else. That seems to me, that is the response of a person who understands the grace of God. The favor of God. Line 2 in this, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Could you be satisfied with just being a doorkeeper in God's house? And the contrast is then going out and hanging out with the wicked. And I think, Lord, forgive us when as Christian people, sometimes we want to hang out with the wicked. You know, God, make me content to be just a doorkeeper in your house. God, I want to be with you. The third line in this is, for the Lord our God is a sun and shield. He is the provider. He is the light and he is the protection. The Lord will give grace, favor, and glory. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold when we step out by faith and we say, God, thank you for your grace. I receive it. I know I'm a dog. I don't deserve a thing. It's only your grace that has brought me into your presence. Grace, 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 amazing grace. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Blessed is the man who lives in the grace of God. And you know what that's going to take? What we do to live in the grace of God is we, and I've been reading it over and over in these devotional booklets, surrender, 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 surrender. Say, God, I surrender my will. I surrender my wants. I surrender my stuff. I just surrender, God. It's not about us. You guys, we are living in the favor of God, the grace of God. Why do we fight for our rights? Why do we fight for what we got to have? We're ambassadors of Christ. We are the receivers of grace and the distributors of grace. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul said, you know, the things that I would count as gain to me, I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss, except for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them all as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, be found in him. Not by my own righteousness, Paul recognizes, and he's the guy who made the list, right? I was a this and a this and a this and a this and a this, and he says, I count that all as rubbish. So how do recipients of grace respond? Not only to God, but how do we respond to each other, the people in our lives? How do recipients of grace respond? And by the way, it's from the time we're born till the time we die that this applies. Once you're in heaven, you won't have to worry about not being gracious. So it's right now. How do we respond as recipients of grace? If we truly understand undeserved favor from God, then I think we're going to be like the psalmist here, who says, God, I'd rather be a day with you than anywhere else. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house. I'd rather be in your presence, Lord, than anywhere else. I wrote down this little question on my notes. Maybe I already said it to you because I forgot what I said to the other crowd. This question, what has been one of your greatest expressions of human grace that you have received from another person? Haven't you received grace from people? I have. I have been the recipient of grace over and over and over again. Times where I didn't deserve, in fact, even when I think I deserve something, I don't deserve it. I mean, I can tell you times where brothers and sisters, and I tell you the truth, it happens all the time right here in this church, all the time to me, where I'm a recipient of grace, of kindness, of consideration. I am really grateful for that. One time Pastor Rob came to my house and he had been driving this 1995 Toyota Camry. And he said, Jim, I just think God told me he wants me to give you this car. Golly. And that became our car for a while. You know, People have extended mercy to me. People have, you know, what is it? And I really don't need, you could answer, but we probably should go to lunch pretty soon. What I want you to think about, what has been an amazing expression of grace that another grace recipient has bestowed upon you? Isn't that a precious gift when somebody does that? My wife does that to me. Maybe your wife does, maybe your husband does to you, expresses gracefully. Probably that's an evidence that the Spirit of God lives in us. And the Spirit of God is working and telling us to serve one another, to care about one another, each esteeming others better than themselves, serving one another. Grace. None of us deserve it. And boy, we can fight for our own rights and way with other people. Me, 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 me. And I think that's our human tendency to do that. It's all about me. You know what? It's never, as Christians, about us. Ever. Unmerited favor tells us you belong to Him. So when it says, like I already said, Jesus says, as I have forgiven you, what's my job? Go forgive others. I have a situation in my family right now, and I was very angry with a person in my extended family. I thought they were wrong. I still think they're wrong. Their behavior was wrong. Their actions were wrong. And I think God's telling me, I don't care if they're wrong. I don't care if they're wrong. You forgive them in your soul. And you do whatever you need to make it right with that person. What can we do? Well, you know, I got all these laundry list of things. Is that what God did for us? I mean, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He had unmerited favor for us. It wasn't when we got it all cleaned up, when we got all right, when we started doing everything right, that God said, okay, now you're ready. You've kind of, you know, you climbed the ladder of holiness. Now I'll extend my mercy to you. He didn't say that. He said, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Grace. Boy, what a gift we've been given. When you walk out of here today, and when you go through your week, and when you interact with other people, maybe you could just be thinking, I have such a gift from God. I have been forgiven. I have been cleansed. I have been saved from the fiery furnace. Does it mean that there are not things to work out with family? Sure, there might be stuff to work out. You may have to sit down and talk with a brother or sister or mom or dad. You may have to sit down and work it out. But who are we to hold it over? Who am I to hold it over my family member that I'm talking about and not extend grace? Let me tell you something really terrible. That offense happened in February. It's been chewing on my soul for a lot of months. And there was a little thing that happened around July, and this person texted me and said, oops, I got it wrong. I'm sorry. And I haven't texted him back. That was July. I have not cleared it up. And I'm convicted. And you know what? You ought to be convicted. If God has got something in your soul, see, because it's, you know, I hate to point the finger like that, but you know what? Think about unmerited favor. Think about what we have been given. That's what this is about. This is not about Jim Eggert saying a message. Think about the fact that you're the recipient of unmerited, undeserved grace of God. And now he says, reflect me. Forgive. Take care of it. Humble yourself. Submit your will. I think that God is strong enough and big enough to handle, we do something courageous to go through with some kind of a forgiveness or some kind of a cleansing. I think God is big enough to carry us through that. So, grace. That's what I want to talk about today. This week I was asking the Lord, what do I preach on? And I don't get this all the time, but you know what happened to me? I said, God, what should I preach on? And immediately, the word grace popped in my mind, grace. And I was like, I don't really believe you, God. And a little bit later, I said, Lord, what should I preach on? Grace popped in my mind. Okay, I got it. So, praise God that for his graciousness. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Help us to contemplate the fact that in your presence is fullness of joy. Help us to contemplate the fact that I'd rather spend a day in the court of my king than 1,000 somewhere else. Rather be a doorkeeper, just a humble servant in your kingdom than have any prestigious place anywhere else. God, thank you for having your favor upon Noah and upon Moses and upon Paul and upon us. The favor of God. Jesus, I pray you bless every person here. Help them with the hard things they have to deal with. Help me, Lord, this week. So when I come back here next week, I can maybe have to tell people, but I'll know that I've taken care of this issue with my family member. And that's probably not the only one I need to take care of. But Jesus, I just thank you for your unmerited favor. And so we just ask you to help us now apply the scripture that we know. In Jesus' name, amen. So long time ago, we learned this little song. It said, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Isn't that something? Praise God. Have a great afternoon. God bless you.